Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Programme for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our programme is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome again to the Maitreya program. And we trust that you're all as well as you can be. This morning, I want to go back to October last year and a rather unreported gathering of dozens of religious leaders and scientists who came together in the Vatican City on the 4th of October 2021 to demand urgent, radical and responsible action to address the climate emergency and the related challenges that threaten humanity and life on our beautiful common home. It was an interfaith climate meeting which was hosted by Pope Francis, and it included Buddhists, Christians, people from Confucianism, Hinduism, Jainism, Judaism, Shia and Sunni Islam, Sikhism, Taoism, and it also included Zoroastrians. So the faith and science towards COP26 came ahead of the United Nations Climate Summit, COP26, which was in Glasgow, Scotland, at the end of October. The Pope presented faith leaders' joint appeal to the Climate Summit President, Alok Sharma, and to the Italian Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation, Luigi Di Maio. Climate change is a grave threat. Now, this was a five-page appeal or document, and it says, climate change is a grave threat. In the interest of justice and fairness, we advocate for common but differentiated climate action at all levels, from individual behavioural changes to high-level political decision-making processes. The world is called to achieve net zero carbon emissions as soon as possible, with wealthier countries taking the lead in reducing their own emissions and in financing emission reductions of the poorer nations. It is important that all governments adopt a trajectory that will limit the global average temperature rise to 1.5 above pre-industrial levels. And you might know these are the goals of the Paris Agreement. COP26, therefore, should deliver ambitious short-term actions from all nations with differentiated responsibilities. There is also an urgent need to deliver action to meet a medium and long-term commitment to climate change and to the betterment of the planet in general. We beg those nations with the greatest responsibility and present capacity to step up to the climate action at home and fulfil existing promises to provide substantial financial support to the vulnerable countries, and to agree on new targets to enable them to become climate resilient, as well as to adapt to and to address climate change and the loss and damage, which is already a reality for many countries. So the faith leaders are urging global governments to raise their ambitions and international cooperation to favour a transition to clean energy, to adopt a sustainable land use practices including preventing deforestation, to restore forests and to conserve biodiversity, to transform food systems to become environmentally friendly, and to be respectful of local cultures, to end hunger, and to promote sustainable lifestyles and patterns of consumption and production. It's pretty much what Maitreya is urging, really. The leaders call for climate action, which emphasises the importance of protecting and investing in marginalised and vulnerable populations, also extends to financial institutions and civil society organisations. It goes on, as leaders and scholars from various religious traditions, we unite in a spirit of humility, responsibility, mutual respect and open dialogue. This dialogue is not limited to the mere exchange of ideas, but is focused on the desire to walk in companionship, recognizing our call to live in harmony with one another and with nature, because nature is a gift, but it is a life-giving force without which we cannot exist. Our faiths and our spiritualities teach a duty, individual and collective, to care for the human family and for the environment in which we live. We are not limitless masters of our planet and its resources. We pray that the human family may unite to save our common home before it is too late. Future generations will never forgive us if we squander this precious opportunity, for we have inherited a garden and we must not leave a desert for our children. And the document adds that scientists have warned us there may be only one decade left to restore the planet to its well-being. Now, Pope Francis, it says here, is reportedly expected to attend the summit in Scotland. But he, prior to that, he echoed the appeal's messages in his Monday address, saying that openness to interdependence and sharing, the dynamism of love and a call to respect are, I believe, three interpretive keys that can share light on our efforts to care for our common home. So the COP26 Glasgow meeting represented an urgent summons to provide effective responses to the unprecedented ecological crisis and a crisis of values. We tend to forget about the crisis of values as well, which we are presently experiencing, and in this way to offer concrete hope to future generations. And Pope Francis has repeatedly garnered global attention for his comments on the climate emergency, including in his 2015 encyclical Laudato Si. Christine Allen, who's the director of CAFOD, the Catholic Development Agency for England and Wales, told the Vatican News, "It's really quite unprecedented for so many faith leaders to come together in this way." When Pope Francis issued Laudato Si in 2015, it had a very significant impact on world leaders and the subsequent COP negotiations. And we are hoping that the current appeal will have a similar impact at the current negotiations, because it's desperately needed. Alok Sharma, who's the head of the UN conference, COP26, also welcomed the joint appeal, which comes as governments are facing criticism for inadequate plans to reduce climate heating emissions. He said, "I am honoured to receive this historic joint appeal as we press for progress towards limiting the global temperatures rises to just 1.5 degrees Celsius. We must hear all voices of those most affected by climate change, and we hope that people of faith will continue to be a key part of the dialogue as we work together." while there are more than 40 figures from various faiths, as well as scientists, participated in the event and the joint call, the Associated Press noted that the Dalai Lama was conspicuously absent, explaining that the Vatican has excluded the Tibetan spiritual leader from interfaith events for years so as not to antagonize China. But I guess that makes a little sense, because an antagonized China would be far less likely to want to cooperate with the world in taking the appropriate actions, maybe. Anyway, you can find that entire article in commondreams.org, and it was reprinted in the Share International magazine from November 2021. And continuing in a similar vein, I have an article here from the same Share International magazine. It's "The Climate Crisis is Dimming Earth's Light." And a new study has revealed that it's actually making Earth dimmer. The paper was published in Geophysical Research Letters in October, and it found there has been a significant drop in Earth's reflective capacity, which is called the albedo, in the last 3 years of records. It was a surprise to us when we analysed the last 3 years of data after nearly 17 years of a nearly flat albedo, said Philip Good, who was the lead study author and works at the New Jersey Institute of Technology as a researcher. The new research is based on measurements of a phenomena called earthshine. This is something that you can see yourself. A new moon occurs when all of the sun's light is reflected away from Earth and the side of the moon facing Earth is barely visible. Sometimes the dark face of the moon catches Earth's reflected glow and returns that light. So the dark face of the moon has a faint shine, and this phenomena is called earthshine. The brightness of earthshine is determined by the albedo, or reflective ability. And the albedo will tend to increase when there are more clouds to reflect the sunlight. So researchers have been measuring earthshine data from the Solar Observatory in Southern California since 1998. And during this time, they've observed that Earth's brightness has decreased by 0.5%. Half a percent. Doesn't sound like much, does it? But, going on, earthshine can be influenced by the brightness of the sun, but the research found that the sun's brightness has not changed at the same time as the effects they are witnessing have. So they think the change is due to the warming of the ocean, and it's being attributed to a warming of the eastern Pacific. And they found that a decrease in low-lying clouds over the eastern Pacific Ocean has affected the reflectiveness of sunshine, so that the earthshine measurements are considerably less. The area has been heating because of the reversal of the Pacific Decadal Oscillation, which is associated with climate change. And while the dimming of the Earth may seem like small fry and rather a curiosity, it could be part of a climate feedback loop, because a less reflective planet will absorb more sunlight, which increases the overall temperature. However, the study did observe that one theory has been contradicted, that a warmer planet would be a cloudier one. And they're hoping that this study will help put the brakes on further climate warming. Finishing off the press release with, it's actually quite concerning. And I'd like to finish today with just a couple of priorities which Maitreya and the Masters have suggested we, humanity, looks into. This one is from Benjamin Krem's Master. It's from his article called The Reordering of Priorities. To aid men in their task, the Christ has formulated certain priorities which, when implemented, will establish balance and order, and so create the harmony on which well-being and peace depend. These priorities are simple and self-evident, yet nowhere do they exist in any great extent. Enumerated, they cover the essential needs of every man, woman, and child, the first priority being an adequate supply of the right food. Secondly, adequate housing and shelter for all. And thirdly, healthcare and education as a universal right. These are the minimum requirements for a stabilised world and will become the main responsibilities of governments everywhere to ensure. Simple as they are, their inauguration will have a far-reaching effect and will usher in a new era for the Earth. Benjamin Krem's Master. And this one is from The Awakening of Humanity, the book by Benjamin Krem. As soon as the needs of the starving millions are met, as soon as the process of sharing is underway, then the attention of all must turn to the support of our ecosystems. Otherwise, there will be no planet. Maitreya himself has said that the saving of the environment must become the first priority of all people, young and old. The effects of global warming on the ice caps are evident. A huge program of reforestation also awaits our attention, and this will take time to achieve, but a start could be made now. And this one from, to finish, Maitreya's Mission, Volume 3, by Benjamin Krem. We in the developed world cannot any longer continue to destroy the resources of the world, for they are finite. If we want our children to live half-decent lives, we have to preserve the resources. This means we have to create a sustainable economy, and this is possible. For years, groups throughout the world have been advocating such an economy, and there are various measures by which this can be done. Mainly, a simplification of our living habits and styles. Something to ponder. I'll leave it there today, and we'll catch up with you next week. Probably not me, somebody else. But until then, look after yourselves and look after each other. Go well, everyone.